This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
We saw the wheat markets find some strength, with corn and soybeans relatively mixed on Wednesday's session, with livestock mixed to lower, energies and the stock markets trying to rally with the U.S. dollar pulling off its highs. Welcome into Market Talk. Thanks so much for joining us, making us part of your day once again. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to be here with you as we take a look at what is happening across rural America, take a look at the markets and much more. Coming up, we are going to discuss the market trade in detail. We're going to get analysis and insight from Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He will join us coming up here in segment two and three today. But first up, kicking off the show, we are talking with Jeff Van Pevenage. He's the CEO of Columbia Grain International. Jeff, always a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. How are you today?
I'm good, Jesse. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the time here today, Jeff. We have plenty to discuss on the program today, including let's talk a little bit about, we were touching on this off the air, talking about soybean harvest ongoing. Already seeing some soybean harvest across parts of the upper Midwest here. We have corn harvest ongoing, pulse crops, you name it. We are in the full swing of harvest. What are you seeing with that harvest outlook here as you talk to growers and look at things across your territory right now?
You bet. You know, early on, soybean harvest looks really promising in North Dakota. We're already having guys that are expressing that they need to sell more because they didn't sell enough versus what their yields are coming at. Looks like we've got a great open window of weather here over the next 2 weeks. I think we will see a lot of stuff cut. I wouldn't be surprised in 2 weeks we're 80% done with soybean harvest out in North Dakota. We've even got some guys that are wanting to look at cutting some corn as well. So we're not far off from corn harvest. I think the weather's been really ideal to kind of keep these crops moving along this year. So we're excited about that. Market has been firm for both those commodities. So yeah, that's a great thing for farmers too. So I think one of the things that that are being brought to light in the soybean world, particularly in the export side, is a thing that's called soybeans of another color. And there's some varieties out there that are providing some problems, particularly into the export markets, because of the different color of the bean. And that's a big issue that I've been dealing with on National Grain and Feed Association, a board that I'm on there, and we're looking at that. So I think that's kind of a topic that farmers need to keep on the front of their brain right now.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up. What's an outlook for that going to be with some of our export partners? Do we think there could be some movement to get them to accept some of the different colored soybeans? Is it going to be a longer process? I mean, what is some of the chatter you're hearing around that on the export front?
You know, the industry is really working hard to be out in front of it right now. We're spending time talking with the Federal Grain Inspection Service about ways to mitigate the issue with that. What I think is going to be even more important for the industry to do is substantiate that the quality of the bean overall is fine, the proteins, the oils out of it. We need to get some testing done right away to get in front of that so that we can go to our overseas customers and say, yes, it doesn't look as beautiful as what you're used to, but the functionality is there and that's what you're paying for. So it's going to be a process. It's going to be a lot of hard work, but I know that the industry is ready to dig in on behalf of the farmers to be in front of it.
Well, Jeff, on the export front as well, we see this very high U.S. dollar. We've seen exports are a bit sluggish here as we're working into this fall, and I know a lot of that is tied to the high U.S. dollar. What are your thoughts? What are you seeing on your end as a grain company, a merchandiser, when it comes to exports and this strong U.S. dollar, kind of a wet blanket over the markets right now?
Well, I've been talking about it, particularly in the pulse world, for the last 2 to 3 months, that I see it starting to slow down our business, starting to challenge the overseas markets on the cost to the consumer. And in the meantime, it's done nothing but get worse over the last 2 to 3 weeks, particularly. So I am concerned that it could slow down exports of U.S. product with as strong as this dollar is. And it's all tied into inflation, both here and abroad.
Well, I know as well, you're thinking on the soybean side, we've seen Argentina export a lot of beans to China, particularly with their monetary policy they have in place down there. And I think about just, you know, harvest moving forward. We had the rail issues, obviously. It sounds like we've got that resolved. But looking to move grain to the PNW and out to export markets, one has to wonder what China's demand outlook could look like here as we move forward. And I know as well, coming up on Friday, quarterly grain stocks numbers, that'll be an interesting report to watch here from USDA's perspective to kind of weigh that into the market trade as well.
Yeah, we definitely have to keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, I mean, the domestic crush continues to push really hard. So that's a good thing. We have strong demand here. And I would say that, you know, the Chinese are pretty well bought up for the next couple of months. There's not a lot of capacity open to export more at this point in time. So the pipeline is full. The pipeline is set for the next couple of months. It was great to have the rail strike averted for now, and hopefully it's averted for good. But I wouldn't call it a slam dunk yet. It still has to get ratification from the unions. And what we're hearing is that it generally should happen. But I tell you, in this business, Jesse, it's just not a day that you aren't working hard to make sure and keep everything working on the right side of the market, for sure. So I'm not overly concerned, I guess, is what I would say about the demand on the soybean side of things. So.
Well, Jeff, always appreciate your insight. Any other final thoughts, anything else we haven't mentioned here today you want to mention before we run out of time?
You know, one of the things, the pea and lentil crop in the U.S., probably not as good as we had hoped it would be. Overall final yields were down, kind of down below where we saw it coming in at. But at the same time, like I said, the strong U.S. dollar is hampering some of our sales overseas. But I look for those markets to stay strong overall. Pea crops might be the one that has some, probably the most concern, as well as chickpeas. It feels to me like the Russians are finding ways to market their chickpeas, and that's slowing down the demand side, particularly. I mean, that is a market that it's consumed in Turkey, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, UAE, some of the areas that aren't the richest in the world. So they're going to take as cheap a product as they can.
Well, I know folks can learn more about everything that Columbia Grain does online, columbiagrain.com. And with that, CEO Jeff Van Pevenage, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Appreciate it, Jesse. Have a great day.
All right, coming up next, we are going to take a dive into the market trade. Wednesday, we saw the wheat markets find some support and strength with quarter beans mixed, livestock mixed to lower. We saw the dollar set new highs, then come off of those highs. We have plenty to discuss. We got market analysis and insight up next with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. We'll be back with more market talk on the way right after this.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now here on Market Talk to take a look at the market trade action we saw on Wednesday and look at the big picture, we are joined by our good friend Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, always great to catch up with you, sir. How are you today?
Doing well. Happy Wednesday, Jesse. We had some green on the screen, so we're keeping the trend good at this point.
We are keeping the trend good. We did have some green on the screen Wednesday, led by those wheat markets finding some support. I know a lot of things there. I know more comments from Russia President Vladimir Putin on the nuclear threat that's out there. I know quarter beans found some strength, but that U.S. dollar broke a little bit off of its 20-year highs. We saw more new 20-year highs overnight into Wednesday's trading session. Just big picture, you look at everything here before we really dive in to some monetary policy and other things. What are your thoughts with finding a little bit of support and some money, positive money flow on Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to what you and I have been discussing a lot this year, Jesse, where it's a European Baltic-centric market, or it should be. And I think the trade has moved dramatically away from that the last month or 2 months, essentially since we made the big highs in the wheat market and in the crude oil market. And in the Federal Reserve policy and central bank deflationary policy is what I'll call it now, has taken hold of these markets. And until this week, as you say, because the guy that won't go quietly out of the room, Russia's President Putin, is back at it. And we've had not only the talk, but we've also seen that now the annexation will be formalized in the news. He's reporting that now. And we've had, even probably most importantly, to redirect the trade's focus is the sabotage to both Nord Stream pipelines. And the London Telegraph is reporting today that those two pipelines will probably never be operational again, obviously without a major, major fix. And that's just brand new news. And this has resurrected the natural gas market. We had the cash spot natural gas in Europe jump, I think it was around 20% on Tuesday, and the British natural gas prices jumped over 30% on Tuesday in reaction to this. So the whole market shifted, and you could see almost see the pivot away from the dollar and back over to the energies and back over to the wheat market. And quite frankly, like we've been talking about a lot this year, that's where it should be to begin with, because guess what? Vladimir Putin is not going to go away quietly, and the Russia-Ukraine war is very unlikely to end anytime soon. And I say that with more confidence today than last week, because Ukraine's president has now said he will not negotiate with Russia peace terms unless Putin is gone. So I think this dynamic of taking too much risk premium out of the energy markets and out of the wheat markets is just coming home to roost. I think the chickens are coming home to roost because the supply and the weather continue to say, we need more risk premium, not less.
Yeah, you touched on quite a few things there in that wheat market. And to me, it sounds like a lot of bullish factors ahead here in this wheat market, Mike.
It is. And I think you read it just right. And, you know, what I've done here today for the viewers is shown a European milling wheat futures price overlaid with the U.S. soft red wheat futures price, knowing that the funds are net short in the commitment of traders report in the soft red wheat futures. And I've converted these prices to dollars or cents per bushel. So they're both in U.S. dollars per bushel or U.S. cents per bushel. And we see that the European, look at the black and red line bar chart, that has now made a new 2.5 month high as of today's close. And so the European market, in my opinion, Jesse, if you want a rally in these markets, a holistic rally in terms of energy and wheat and other grains, you really got to rely upon the European market, just like we did back during February, March, April time period. But I will reiterate to you what I said just a minute ago. We went from $14.25 in U.S. futures in March down to $7.25 by August. That's just too much premium to take off the table when you've got a major drought in Argentina, a major drought in the U.S. hard red wheat belt, planting delays in Russia because of farmers being drafted and because of too much precip. Some of their key areas right now are 30 to 40%, I should say, behind the pace they were last year at this time. And then you've got major potential planting delays in the Ukraine as well, if the conscription and the drafting of all these Russian soldiers comes over into the border of Ukraine and the fighting gets renewed. And so you throw all that on top of the funds being out of position, in my opinion, and net short the wheat. I think the wheat's the key here, and it always has been.
Well, you mentioned it too, some of those planting issues. I've heard the reports, I think you have as well, farmers kind of just dusting in some crop in parts of the southwestern plains. So a lot of things to look at wheat. I want to talk a little more on the energy side as well. You brought that up at the top of the show. Pull up another chart on the video feed, but talk to me a little bit more. You mentioned Nord Stream and the issues there, and just looking at natural gas and some of the other factors. Walk us through this chart and talk to me a little more on the energy side and how that's playing in right now.
Yeah, this chart helps a lot from a standpoint that those that would say, well, the Nord Stream pipeline really does, both of them really don't mean anything because two never got finished and one wasn't pumping anyway to Europe. And that's all true because the Germans did shut down Nord Stream 1 when the war got worse and worse and worse. And so they didn't want Russian natural gas. Having said that, though, when you blow up two pipelines and now permanently, this chart from the OECD, which is the Organization of Economic Developed Countries, they did a special update just this week on what is the scenario on the supply-demand balance for the European Union. You and I think have talked about this. I've said this a lot to clients and subscribers and on the road at farm shows. I'm really worried about the European Union not only going into a recession, but a true depression. And I think that starts in the British Commonwealth, especially with their British pound at a now all-time low, 40-plus year low, essentially the lowest since we started Bretton Woods and after World War II when it comes to the pound sterling against the U.S. dollar. But this natural gas market could be the final domino to fall to create a severe recession or depression. And this chart helps us understand why. The OECD did a really nice job. You've got a blue bar, an orange bar, and a green bar. That makes the differences in weather scenarios this winter. So the blue bar is like the five-year average or four-year average of gas consumption compared to the winter times of those time periods. The orange is the cold winter. And then the green is a 10% reduction in gas consumption, where the savers save in Europe and some maybe potential buildings and some factories kind of get shut down or go down for a while. But the key here to me is the cold winter scenario. Even if you save 10% in gas reduction, if you have a cold winter, you notice by January 2023, stocks of gasoline fall below the 25% level or below the 30% level, that red dotted line. So by January, they're at 25%. By February, they're essentially out of natural gas. And then March and April, they have zeros. And so this is where, again, I think the trade between the weather and the fundamentals of the geopolitics of the war, they've just taken too much premium out of this market. And the natural gas market, if you look at it against a wheat chart, they look almost identical in terms of how much premium you've taken out and moved us all the way back down to where we were before the war even started back in February.
Mike, the U.S. dollar as well. You brought up the British pound. I believe British pound trading even got suspended for a little bit on the Chicago trade this week. But, you know, with the U.S. dollar as well, we think about just all the different global currencies and the global economic fears. I mentioned this. The dollar broke lower a bit on Wednesday, but still feels like that U.S. dollar going to be a wet blanket here. And it's still amazing, though, to see wheat move higher, you know, with the dollar at such high levels.
Yeah, and I think this is where it goes back to the wheat can only do so much with that type of dollar. And I think what you're leading to and what you're getting at, Jesse, is right on the money. And this is where with clients and subscribers this week, what's all this information mean? These two charts we just talked about. Well, what it means to me is I can't rely upon the wheat by itself, especially with corn and bean yields. For about 80% of my growers and my clients, subscriber growers, telling me that they're pleasantly surprised, if not outright amazed, by the yields given the droughty conditions and the heat this past year, about their row crop yields. So I think the wheat, you just can't rely upon it to go it alone and help the corn and beans withstand going even lower. And I don't think it's good risk management to do that, especially when you have something like a vehicle, like a bought put, where you can get a floor underneath you. And it's, as I said to the clients and subscribers, that dollar, and this works into your question, that dollar could be making a high right now, but it could be getting dressed up to go all the way back up to 115 and a half, because that's kind of where it peaked out in that 2002 time period, 115, 117 area. So it could go up a whole nother leg. And I guess that's where I'm like, I'm not going to try and figure out a market that we're making history on right now. I know enough that the wheat's too discount. It's, I think, still 80 cents too cheap, but that doesn't mean the corn and beans are not going to go to keep going down because of the yields. And that's where the grain stocks report on Friday comes into play heavily. And a lot of these fundamentals with the economic data starting with today, part of the reason why the dollar broke, I think, was because of the tighter energy stocks on the weekly report and some of the housing data and some of the consumption data is finally starting to show, like ethanol, its production is back down to pandemic levels. Now we're down to February of 2021 production levels, not a good sign. But be that as it may, we're softening here economically. Does that take the pressure off the Fed? Maybe the traders want to trade that in the dollar for a week or two. But I think the key is I'm not going to rely upon the wheat all by itself to take the market higher and not be hedged. I want to have at least some paper hedges in place in case this market gets hit again.
Well, we are having a conversation with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and we'll continue that conversation coming up here after the break as we will be back with more market talk on the way right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here in studio. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, is our guest analyst here today. We're going to get back to a conversation in just a moment. A few of the closing numbers from Wednesday's trade. December corn was up 3, 670 and a half. March up 3 3/4, 676 and a half. November beans up 3/4, 1408 and 3/4. January beans up 2 1/4, 1416 and a quarter. Bean meal October down 430 a ton, 421.80. Bean oil October down 14 points, 65.50. Chicago wheat December 31 3/4 higher, 903 1/4. March up 30 3/4 at 915. Kansas City hard red winter wheat December up 32 3/4, 976, with March up 31 1/2 at 972. Spring wheat December up 29 1/4, 972 1/2. And March spring wheat, and that was up 29 at 977. October live cattle down 52, 143.05. December down 62 at 146.27. Feeder cattle September down 32, 175.37. October down 112, 175 even. Lean hogs October 67 higher, 89.37. December hogs down 42 at 75.82. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics here today on Market Talk. You brought up export demand, Mike, or well, ethanol demand, I should say. And I think that ties as well into export demand, which has been fairly sluggish. So, and that's for corn and soybeans. So I think that's another factor we have to watch. And that's all tied into the economy as well. And as well, soybeans saw a little bit of pressure mid-session Wednesday, then kind of rallied back. I'd love your thoughts just maybe on the export side of the picture first here, and some of the sluggish demand we're seeing, but then soybeans as well. What led to some of that selling pressure on Wednesday?
Yeah, overall, the soybeans are still the leader to the downside. And I think the funds are still very much in play with wanting to sell the beans. They're very much in play with wanting to sell the hogs. That pork and bean trade continues to be a key determinant in terms of what I think is trading in terms of sentiment and what's driving the markets for me, Jesse. And when I see the hogs and the soybeans hook up together, even though they maybe have different fundamentals, fundamentals to them in the short term or medium term. I think in the long term, the trade still thinks China is getting weaker. The World Bank came out again and cut growth again. They cut the Chinese growth down below 3%. They're at 2.8, 2.7% for this year's growth in China. That is almost deep recessionary territory for a country like China. That gets you back to levels not seen since 2020 when we were in the heart of the pandemic. And so I think the soybeans are still the leader to the downside because of the sharp expansionary mindset and rapid planting pace in Brazil, but also the demand side. As you say, the export demand, we saw in the weekly export inspections, the wheat made the trade cut, but when it came to corn and beans, both of them were below the lowest trade forecast estimate. And I think this is where Friday's stocks data comes in very, very importantly, because the trade is expecting about a 20 million bushel reduction in stocks of soybeans as of September 1st versus last year. I hope we get that, because if we don't, then the trade's going to say, wow, the demand's not even as good as we thought it was, or it's even worse than we thought it was. And so to me, we've still got the beans as a leader to the downside. By the same token, I think in the very short term, what made the beans come around was the currencies. I noticed that the Brazilian currency was getting back towards its weekly low against the U.S. dollar, but by mid-session, it started to gain a lot of traction when the dollar index broke. So that might be one of the keys to this chart you're looking at right now, is if the Brazilian currency continues to strengthen and the Chinese hog price starts to firm, all of a sudden you can make an argument why both would go up again or at least retrace again.
Mike, I know hog, especially the December contract, has taken a beating, and we've lost some $12, $13 here in the last week plus. But I think this goes in with cattle as well, and the entire livestock sector. It just feels like traders are very uncomfortable with the economic outlook, and that's kind of a weight here on this broader protein sector right now, it seems.
I couldn't agree more, Jesse. I think the consumption negativity is starting to finally come into the livestock futures. The funds are very long fat cattle. They're pretty long the hogs. I think they're liquidating out of those positions because they are seeing the fact that, say, in Japan, for instance, this week, the Nikkei reported that a hamburger at McDonald's in Tokyo now has been raised again in prices. It's the second time since March, but it's 40% higher than it was back in March for a hamburger in Tokyo, Japan. That's going to create a demand shock. I think that's what the market is realizing, and it's looking more, as you say, in livestock with these double-digit losses in fat cattle and in hogs. It's looking more like sell rallies because we're losing consumption and demand. And the cattle on-feed report once again showed us by the on-feed numbers, the highest on-feed numbers for September 1 since going all the way back to 1996, the second highest since 1996 for on feed. So we got plenty of supply, and I think the market is rightfully pricing in some weakening consumption. Having said that, I think the hogs and the feeders maybe will want to take a pause here and maybe build a little bit of a base, watch for the cash market, and in the case of the feeders, maybe watch in terms of what the corn price does here.
Well, and to that point, do you think quarterly hogs and pigs report Thursday, if it happens to come in near estimates, trade estimates, do you think that could provide us some short-term support maybe in the hog market?
Yeah, I do, because our year-to-date production is down almost 2%. I mean, the supply of hogs is going down gradually, and so I do think that at some point, and I've always felt like the trading range mindset might start to build up here, where 90, 95 is kind of the mindset in lead month futures until we get closer to the ham seasonal and see whether Christmas is a bust or not. I think that's the next big shoe to drop, is what happens at Christmas around the world. What happens with the Golden Week holiday next week with China? I mean, they just announced today they're going to release another 20,000 tons of pork out of their domestic reserves at the end of this week ahead of their big holiday in the 1st of October. That's a third release, I think, in the last month. That would suggest they still want to cool those prices, and that should be supportive for us, and hopefully we'll see that on the export sales tomorrow morning.
I should ask as well, I know the country is watching Hurricane Ian in Florida as it makes its track across Florida, and it sounds like the main storm track is going to stay out of most of the phosphate fertilizer production areas there in Florida, but I know there could still be impacts. Is there anything with the hurricane that you're watching that could impact the market trade here this week?
Yeah, I think the tropics are getting more excitable. They're getting more active, and I think this combined with what we talked about in the natural gas realm with the Nord Stream being blown up, and then talking about what maybe will happen in Europe this year with maybe more fertilizer plants going down potentially because of the extensive use of electricity these plants utilize and natural gas. I think between that, Jesse, and the fact that both the diesel oil stocks today on the weekly update by Department of Energy went down, and that was a surprise. Unleaded stocks went down. That was a surprise to the trade. I think I've had a couple clients come in and call, even though I've made the recommendation to book your, you know, fall diesel and book your spring nitrogen needs, they still kind of hung on. I really think you're kind of running out of runway at this point to do that, especially if we get more active and we actually see some hurricanes or tropical systems hit the Gulf of Mexico that hit go towards New Orleans or go through to towards Houston. That, I think, is kind of going to spell almost a disaster in terms of prices being able to get back down for the foreseeable future.
Well, I know our thoughts are with everyone in the path of Hurricane Ian. I don't think we've ever talked about citrus crops before, but I know that it's impacting, I think, four of the five highest citrus growing counties in Florida. So one has to wonder what effect that could have on the citrus industry moving forward. I think we'll be watching that possibly, Mike.
And you bring up a good point. We'll need to be watching the poultry and hog facilities in the Carolinas and Georgia as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, before we run out of time, sir, any other final thoughts you have to share with us here today?
I think that we've done a really good job in terms of watching the dollar, watching the wheat, watching the natural gas. Just farm that plan and get some floors underneath you would be my recommendation if we get a bump here in the wheat market, Jesse. I think we can get a bump, but I'm not sure we can get back to that 695 and 1495 level in the Dease corn and no beans given these yields unless they really start to taper off. And I'm actually starting to maybe hunker down for the idea of maybe the USDA comes back in and pops up the yields a little bit in their October supply demand report. So keep that in mind. Give me a call or go to globalcomresearch.com, sign up for a trial or get in touch with me. And if you have a specific question,
globalcomresearch.com. That is com with two M's, globalcomresearch.com. As always, we appreciate the insight and analysis. With that, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, thanks for the time. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much for having me, Jesse.
And again, great stuff there. As always, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, our guest analyst here today on the show. And it was a positive day. Wheat markets finding some good strength, soaring higher. Quarter beans finishing in the green. Livestock were a little bit under pressure, as we talked about. Traders feeling a little uncomfortable and nervous with the economy's position in the livestock trade. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a few news headlines in the world of agriculture. Also listen to some comments from earlier on Wednesday with Arlen Suderman of StoneX. We'll be back with more market talk on the way right after the break.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Appreciate you being with us here today. As always, Jesse Allen back with you here at studio. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. Always appreciate his insight into the markets. Wrapping up our discussion with him there in the last segment. Well, earlier on Wednesday, I talked with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, as I always do for our midday commentary, and got Arlen's thoughts on the trade action. And we talked about what he saw in the grain markets relative to what's going on in the macro picture on Wednesday. And we also talked about the quarterly grain stocks numbers that are coming up on Friday. Here is that commentary with Arlen Suderman of StoneX.
Yeah, we're certainly seeing some strength into the equities and into the broader commodity sector today as the dollar is reversing off of its 20-year highs it made earlier today. We're seeing yields on treasuries after making new highs overnight drop sharply as well today. Some profit taking going there after 10-year yields pushed above 4% for the first time in 15 years. So we're seeing a lot of reversal in money flow, and it's generally supportive. Wheat getting a lot of strength also from new risks in Ukraine, questions about being able to keep the safe corridors open, new nuclear threats being made by Russia, and the war just kind of escalating there, and that's helping support corn prices as well. Soybeans, though, not so fortunate, seeing some of that seasonal harvest pressure at a time when Chinese demand is rather soft right now. with China buying several million metric tons of soybeans from Argentina at a time when they normally be buying from us.
In the grain trade especially, we're going to be turning our attention to that quarterly grain stocks number coming up on Friday. And one has to wonder what that report could show us and what way it could move the markets.
Absolutely. It's not unusual to get big moves in the market on the days of the quarterly stocks reports. And the ones that tend to give us the biggest surprises tend to be the grain stocks report. It has a direct impact on feed usage, and it's basically just a calculated number. It's not measured. It's calculated based on USDA's estimate of the size of the crop. Minus what measured demand we have, which would be exports and ethanol usage and food usage. And beyond that, we just assume the rest is feed usage. And sometimes we can get some big surprises in those numbers that are really market moving. But I think the outside markets are going to continue to be a factor. We're still seeing the VIX, even though it's down from its 3-month highs it posted earlier today, of around 35, where VIX is still above 30, near 31 right now. And it says the fear levels on Wall Street are still very high and going to be impacting these markets following headline to headline.
And again, that's commentary and analysis with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. I talked with Arlen, as I always do, midday on Wednesday, and got his thoughts as trade was ongoing during the session on Wednesday. And again, the wheat markets finding some support on the session, with quarter beans relatively mixed, livestock mixed to lower, and finding some support in energies and stocks, even though we still watch that U.S. dollar index. That is going to be this wet blanket over the market trade here for the foreseeable future, it seems like, although we did come well off the highs in the dollar on Wednesday. Well, and the agricultural economy is still quite strong in 2022, but how long will it last? Nate Kaufman, Vice President and Omaha Bank Executive for the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, spoke during the recent Agricultural Outlook Forum in Kansas City. He told the audience during a presentation that incomes are still in good shape.
Economic conditions in agriculture are remarkably strong. And I want to start here because this is not something that I would have said probably 2.5 years ago. And I think it is an important place to start just because of how significantly different conditions are today relative to what we might have said back then.
Incomes are incredibly high. We've seen commodity prices pick up. Yes, there are very high input costs that are leading to some concerns. But generally speaking, economic conditions in agriculture, with some caveats, are quite strong.
Land values are a good example of the strength of the ag economy.
Land values, for example, are about 25 to 30% higher than what we might have seen before the pandemic. That was a time that land values had been declining. The first couple months of the pandemic, it was maybe thought that we would see further declines, but here we are a couple of years later and seeing that, in fact, conditions are much stronger. Prior to the pandemic, we worried about gradual increases in loan defaults. We looked at bankruptcy rates. We looked at other things that we thought there was going to be more financial stress and not less going forward. And the reality is that loan delinquencies are at one of their all-time lows. Working capital levels are very high. Producers are generally in a strong position. And so we're seeing, again, from a financial picture, things are rather strong there too.
Despite the current strength, analysts expect slower economic growth next year.
6% growth in 2021. In 2022, that number is expected to be less than 1%. And there are concerns about economic growth in 2023. The second one is inflationary pressure. For those 10 years that we spent in the longest economic expansion on record after the financial crisis, inflation was generally less than 2%. And the Federal Reserve, as many of you may know, has a goal for inflation at 2%. We're at 8%. That's higher than 2%. There are concerns about what inflationary pressures might do with respect to some of the costs that have been mentioned.
And the other significant headwind, of course, is the interest rate.
The last one that I'll mention then is interest rates. At the end of 2020, if you were to look at some of the projections that Federal Reserve officials would have suggested would be appropriate interest rate policy for 2022, many would have indicated that rates were likely to still be approximately zero by the end of this year. Instead, we're in a different environment, and this is in large part because of inflation, where we're now seeing interest rates closer to 4 to 4.5% by the end of this year.
The Ag Outlook Forum was sponsored by the Ag Business Council of Kansas City and AgriPulse. Also on Wednesday, we saw the long-awaited White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health that convened on the day, and we're going to be following the results of that conference here coming up as we go the rest of the week on the show. Also going to continue to watch any impacts that Hurricane Ian has in the southeast and what impacts it could have on agriculture and the markets as well moving forward. That's all the time we have for Market Talk here today. Coming up tomorrow, on top of those issues I mentioned, we'll keep our eyes on everything happening in the world of agriculture, and we'll talk markets with Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. Have a fantastic rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.